Generally, serious mystics do not seek such manifestations, whether they are seen literally, corporeal visions, or seen with the mind's eye, interior visions, because they are not mystical consciousness as such. Pursuit of visions is viewed as a distraction from mystical consciousness. Incidentally, Freud did not discover that unconscious desires can fool people into believing that they see or hear things. Spiritual directors have known that all too well for centuries. Walter Hilton, writing in the early 15th century, advised the mystic who experiences any type of vision to refuse it and assent not thereto. John of the Cross later offered the same advice, explaining, "That which properly and generally comes from God is a purely spiritual communication." Stace follows this up, noting that a genuine mystical experience is non-sensuous. It is formless, shapeless, colorless, odorless, soundless. Mystics are not, as a rule, impractical idealists. Many mystics, such as the Apostle Paul, Francis of Assisi, Catherine of Genoa, who directed a hospital, and Teresa of Avila, were capable administrators. Mystics spend considerable time in prayer and contemplation, but there is no inverse relationship between an ability to contemplate and an ability to act effectively. Mystics commonly live ascetic lives to avoid distractions, not to punish themselves. Serious mystics, like serious athletes, must give up good things as well as bad things. Underhill explains that through strict self-discipline they seek freedom from the results of environment and worldly education, from pride and prejudice, preferences and distaste. In other words, they seek freedom from the normal contents of everyday consciousness. Historically, some mystics have had a self-punishing temperament, but so do many people who show no mystical tendencies. In an old Buddhist tale, the itinerant master and his students commit to owning only the barest necessities. They carry their rice bowls in their hands while on the road. But some students insist on acquiring a bag for the bowls. The master says nothing, merely waiting for the students to see. Soon the bag develops a hole, and they must stop at a nearby town to repair it. Then one student suggests carrying a repair kit as well. An argument develops around the philosophy of the kit. Eventually, even the dullest student realizes that distractions multiply. None of the items is bad in itself, but all are distractions.